Lord God, we thank you so much for today that you gather us here to worship you, to hear you, and to receive the blessings and encouragement that you have for us. We ask that you to open the eyes of our heart and yes, use me to share your word that encourage and edify one another. And ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So it has been, I think over 1 year since I last shared. And a year ago, I shared on the book of Colossians. And today I'll continue with it. And last time I got to Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. And that's when Paul talked about we are spiritually complete in Christ. We don't need to turn to anything else. Before we continue to read with verse 11 to 15, I'll just remind you some backgrounds on Colossians. So the letter of Colossians, Colossae, was a town in Asia Minor, the modern-day Turkey, not big enough to be regarded as a city at the time the letter was written. It was not as big or as important as a neighboring town like Laodicea that had about 11,000 adult male Jews. So to put things into perspective, Rome was a major city in the world, and at the time it had about 50,000 Jews out of a population of 1 million people, excluding slaves. Colossae wasn't visited by Apostle Paul himself. He seems to have focused himself on major hubs with sizable population. So why did Paul write to Colossians, where he hasn't been before? Well, they were not his converts, but his fellow workers, Epaphras' converts. And Epaphras shared with Paul how this new church was doing. Paul showed his care for the church in Colossae by writing this letter to them. So Paul has zeal and love for the church. It was so great that he would want to encourage and build up the people that he hasn't met before. And so far in the first chapter and a bit, the letter Paul was writing was addressing to refute the Gnostic heresy which was invading the church at Colossae. So it addressed some of the key false teaching. So for example, back in chapter 1, verse 16 and 20, it talked about Christ was above all. So the young church may be in danger of paying too much attention to the spiritual powers instead of on Christ. So the heretics were saying that Christ alone was not sufficient to save a person. They were adding to the death of Christ, circumcision, the ceremonial aspect of the Mosaic law, and the worship of angels as condition for salvation. So back on Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, it reads, "In him, that is Christ, you have been made complete." So all the Christian needs for salvation and Christian living is found in Christ. We don't need Jewish practice like circumcision or observe the feast or fast. And in the following verse, verse 11 to 15, Paul shown various ways in which we are full or complete in Christ. So Let's read chapter 2, verse 11 to 15. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him, through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of a decree against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. So in this passage, verse 11 to verse 12 tell us that believers are made spiritually complete in Christ because one, a spiritual circumcision, and two, because Christ made believers alive. Verse 13 to 15, despite being dead in transgressions. So the key message is that salvation is in Christ alone, not Christ plus anything, as that is equal to work. Salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. So now we'll just look at this passage, verse by verse. So just for verse 11, and in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So Paul's words here on circumcision was to appeal to the Jewish believer in the Colossian church that they could be cut off for God, symbolizing the covenant relationship with God. In the ritual, the outward sign was kept, but the purpose of it as a covenant to walk with God in light of his promise was lost. The circumcision spoken about here in verse 11 is not a physical one, since it's done without hands. It's a spiritual circumcision of the heart, which all believers have. You might remember Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, it reads, the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. It's the spiritual circumcision that Christ did that matters, not the physical circumcision. The word body of flesh in verse 11 is a metaphor for the old sinful self which was in the flesh, first being in the spirit. The spiritual circumcision allowed the Christians to put off this sinful nature, our old self in the flesh, so that we are no longer slaves to sin, so we do not have to yield to it. Because the power of the Holy Spirit and the faith working in us, though we can lack faith and at times yield. So it's important, encouraging, realize and remember that we may lose battles sometimes, but Christ has won the war. So the circumcision of Christ could be considered as Christ was cut off from God because of our disobedience. But in the circumcision of Christ, believers also experience spiritual circumcision in the sense that we can be cut off for God, because Jesus was cut off from God because of our sins. Okay, verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So baptism here is not about physical water baptism, but spiritual baptism done by the Spirit of God. So just may remember 1 Peter 3 verse 21, it reads, baptism, which corresponds to this, now save you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So this is re-emphasizing that we are complete in Christ and identify with him through death and resurrection of Jesus. So our position before God is righteous and whole because of Jesus' righteousness. It's also the believers. So for spiritual circumcision and spiritual baptism, believers are no longer dead, but alive in Christ. This verse is also saying that believers' faith in Christ is crucial as it brought about the supernatural work of God in bringing about spiritual circumcision and spiritual baptism. The faith we have is totally by the grace of God, and we need to exercise this faith so that we can receive the gifts of God, such as spiritual circumcisions and baptism. So verse 13, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. So before conversion, people were spiritually dead in their transgressions, in their sins, slaves to their sinful styles and rebel from God. We couldn't do anything to be saved. God must intervene. And he did supernaturally intervene, bring conviction of sin and faith to believe. So in Christ, God made believers alive, and believers shared the life of Christ. So how did he do it? By forgiving all our transgression. How was it done? It's through the cross that Christ bore, which is mentioned in the next verse, 14, which reads, having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. So to give you some background about the certificate of debt, back in the first century days, if a person has committed a crime or owed a debt, they would be imprisoned and have a certificate of debt listing their offenses and price that needed to be paid posted on their cell door. So here, Paul was using this analogy that before conversion, people sin against God and have committed offense against him. So there's spiritual certificates of debt on the Jews and Gentiles. But these certificates were taken and placed with Christ, who paid the debt in full through the cross, so that God can forgive our sins, your sins as well, those who were spiritually dead, because Jesus paid the penalty of our sins in our place on the cross. So in Christ, we are forgiven. We are spiritually alive. In verse 15, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. So we are spiritually alive in Christ because of the victory of the cross brought. In Christ's death, he disarmed the spiritual world. Because we are in Christ, we too can defeat the spiritual world. Not only did he disarm them, he made a public display of them, a spectacle of them. So evil spiritual forces may influence us, and when we need to be aware of them, but we don't need to be fearful, for Christ has triumphed over them. In Christ we can defeat the enemy. We don't need to be afraid. We can claim Christ's victory over them. So to give some highlights of these points in the passage, we are spiritually complete in Christ through spiritual circumcision, and Christ made us alive in Him through forgiveness and victory the cross brings. And this is all by the grace of God through faith in Christ alone. No work we can do to save ourselves. So let me close with a story. I read about F.B. Meyer climbing the Matterhorn. Can I ask the worship teams come up to start play some music? So F.B. Meyer wrote about two Germans who wanted to climb the Matterhorn. They hired three guys and began the ascent at the steepest and the most slippery part. The men roped themselves together in this order. A guy, traveler, guy. They had gone only a little way up the side when the last man lost his footing. He was held up temporarily by the other four, because each had a toehold in the niche they had cut in the ice. But then the next man slipped and he pulled down the two above him. The only one to stand firm was the first guy who had driven a spike deep into the ice. Because he held his ground, all the men beneath him regained their footing. F.B. Meyer concluded his story by drawing a spiritual application. He said, "I'm like one of those men who slip, but thank God I'm bound in a living partnership to Christ, and because He stands, I will never perish." We are saved not by our own effort, but in Christ we can be well. I encourage you to abide in Him and yes, praise Him for who He is and what He has done for us.
Oh. was laid, then bursting forth in glorious day. From the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curses lost his grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Oh,
us to bless others and to experience you and to build your kingdom through your working in us. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us turn to our corporate prayer. And yes, pray for those who are suffering through cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy. Pray for them to, just stand strong, stand firm in Christ. Thank you.
also want to pray for those who are suffering in illness and don't know Jesus. Pray that God's grace just completely cover them, and that yes, and that they also know Jesus personally and have a relationship with Him. Is looking for a job, pray for God's provision. Mission focus is Singapore. It's got a church planted, SPSG, as well as our Indonesian fellowship here in Hong Kong, led by Pastor Salamat here, and our Filipino congregations are led by P. Ernie. Yeah, pray for these leaders covering, and also pray that the congregation continue to grow in spiritual maturity. Also pray for our education ministry, SP Kids, led by Lisa, and SP Youth by Donald, and SPU by P. Andrew. And particularly pray for more volunteers, because yeah, we do want more children to be able to go to Sunday schools. IP team is led by Matt, and Sarah leads the well, and Rachel leads the river. Yeah, just pray for anointing on each of these ministers and prayer warriors, pray that they have great connections with God, and then yeah, God works miracle through them. After Sunday service, when people come to receive prayer at the well, as well as yeah, just God's continued healing on each person. This evening there's an outreach for SP Light, our Red Light District Ministry partner with S&D. So pray that God use them to shine light in these districts, and that He has continued to draw these ladies out of this darkness into His light. Recently, and there's still many coming along, so let's keep praying for our pregnant moms at church, particularly Cecilia, Amanda, Angela, Joan, and many others as well. Just pray for covering for the parents and the babies, and that the baby continues to grow healthily inside the womb. A few house church gathering, Cullinan West, East Bay Olympic, Robin Hood. Pray for God's Spirit to move in the midst of the house church. Pray for this unity, bond of peace, and love for one another. Pray that God reveals Himself in the midst, and that they encounter God tonight as they come together to worship and fellowship together. Thank you so much that in you we are complete. In you we have victory. Help us to draw on your strength, your power, your wisdom to follow your leading into all that we do, so that all that we do, we honor you, we give praise to you. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and have a great day.